is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
All right, well, let's pray. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we can come together and talk about things that we need to talk about. We ask that as we look at anger tonight, Lord, that we would bring the things that frustrate us, the things that make us mad, the things that we hate to your feet, Lord, that we may seek your will for us and how to better handle those things and handle those feelings. And we ask that you would be with us now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're talking about anger. We're talking about anger, and Pastor Wade is very angry tonight, so he just decided to come in. I actually didn't know he was going to do that. That was really funny. All right. Okay, so we're talking about anger. We've talked about joy and happiness. We've talked about grief and sorrow. Tonight we're going to talk about anger and hatred. And I wanted to open up by simply making the point that, do y'all ever see how anger can just escalate to a point where it just gets beyond control? Yeah. Y'all ever seen that happen? Where you're watching a situation play out, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. Well, something like that happened back in the 1800s. There was a baseball game between the Orioles and Boston, and two players got into a fight on the field. Okay, and this fight just got out of control, and then all the players started fighting. People in the stands started fighting. Okay? And back then, stadiums weren't made out of concrete. They were made out of wood. Okay, and a fire got started. Now, what happens when you set fire to a wood structure?
It burns down.
They burned the entire stadium down. And not only that, they burned 107 other buildings down around, all because of someone's anger getting out of control. So you see how our anger, that's a very extreme example, but you see how our anger can just start with something small and it blows up into something huge? That's how our anger works. We need to view our anger so we can understand that it works that way, so that we can better control our anger. That one argument started between two players on the field, and it ended in like just mass destruction in the city of Boston. Okay, so tonight we're going to look at how when anger and hatred consume our hearts, the only thing it leaves behind is destruction. It's the only thing it leaves behind. So let's split it into our groups. Jack, start numbers. 1, 3. Let's start with asking the question, what does anger do? So group one, how would you define anger and or hatred? Josh.
Bad emotions towards someone.
Bad emotions towards somebody, okay.
Frustration that is expressed outward in a dramatic fashion.
Okay, I like that definition. Frustration that is expressed outwardly in a dramatic fashion, okay. So anger is something that we have towards
someone.
Others, someone. There's an organization called CCEF, which is the Christian Counseling Education Foundation, and they write a lot of books about emotions and about counseling. And if you ever get a chance to get your hands on any of their books, they're a fantastic organization. But one of the writers, his name is Ed Welch, actually took some of his classes in seminary. He says this about anger. He says, the way we define anger makes all the difference. For example, if we think anger is our legitimate response to stupid people, then we are destined to become even more angry, because there are many ways people will make our lives inconvenient, which is why we think they're stupid. And so anger has this progression, and it has this snowball effect, where we think we're right. The next question I want to ask y'all is, what does anger communicate to the person that you're angry at, and to the other people around you? What does it communicate?
That you don't like them.
Okay, that you don't like them.
That you have the desire to destroy your relationship.
Okay. The desire and the ability to destroy. Okay. But what else? What is it saying about yourself? It says, I'm right. Right? And what does it say about the other person?
You're wrong.
You're wrong. Okay? And I'm going to go further than that. I think anger says, I'm right, you're wrong. But I think anger also says, not only are you wrong, but you've wronged me. And that's when it gets really tricky, because that's when it gets really, really personal. When we're saying that, what are we doing? We're setting ourselves up as judge, right? And we're exacting a judgment upon them, and we're not giving them a chance to respond. We're not giving them a chance to defend themselves. What we're doing is we're saying, I'm right, you're wrong, you've wronged me, and there's nothing you can say about it. Okay? Any good judge, if you're a judge and you're sitting and presiding over a court case, and you at any point become emotionally involved in the case, you know what that judge is supposed to do? They're supposed to step down. Okay? They're supposed to recuse themselves.
and have another judge come in and preside over the case. But we don't do that, right? When we're angry, we don't say, okay, I'm angry, I need to step aside and, you know, maybe talk to somebody else first. No, we just jump straight in to it, right? Think about it this way. Okay, say you're a teacher and you have a student, and we'll call the student
Dave.
We'll call him Dave. Okay? Okay, we have Dave. And Dave is just that one kid in class that you just don't like, right? Okay, Dave's always cutting up. He's always being a jerk. He's never paying attention. And say, as Dave's teacher, you're just so frustrated with him. He did something that day that just made you so angry. Okay, and you go home and you're like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be around Dave right now. And then you pull out your papers to start grading. And whose paper's on top?
Dave.
Okay? Are you going to grade Dave's paper fairly?
No.
Probably not. Why? Because you're already angry at that point. You've already made up your decision about Dave. The point is, when we find ourselves in those situations, what we're doing, again, we're setting ourselves up as judge, we're setting ourselves up as the jury and the executioner. And that's not a fair way to treat other people. Okay? Like I said, any good judge would step down when they become emotionally involved in a case. We need to start thinking about how when we're in those situations, when we're angry, we need to be able to step back and say, look, I'm angry right now, and I don't need to talk to this person. I need to step back. I need to pray. I need to think through this. I need to talk to other people. Okay? We can't just say case closed, no defense needed. We have to be fair in that. God calls us to be fair in that. So what's communicated to others is, I don't care what happened, and I'm right. And what that also says is, I don't want to know what your defense is. I don't want to know what you did that you think was right. I don't care. All I care about is that I'm right. And we have to be able to wrap our heads around that. Because when we recognize that, what can we do?
Apologize.
It could lead us to apologize. It could do what else? Anger is complicated. It has many faces. Let's get to group two here. The faces of anger. What are ways that anger comes out of us?
Like yelling or throwing something.
Okay, yelling and throwing. Okay, that's a good start. How else? Is it just like the physical stuff? Okay, inflicting pain. Punching somebody? Punching Dave? Okay. Punching a wall? Okay. You can physically punch a wall.
Or a door.
Or a door. That's anger. That's one way anger can come out. What else?
All right.
Raise your hands. Let's see what people talk.
It can damage your relationship.
Okay. It results in damaging relationships. Hands got the floor.
Passive aggression.
Okay. Anger takes many forms, right? Okay. It's not just the person who's so mad there's just steam coming out of their ears. It takes many different forms. Here's a few examples so we can kind of just get them out in the open and start thinking about them. Do y'all ever view gossip and slander as a form of anger?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It is. It is. What you're saying is, in anger, we've already made our minds up about that person, and we don't care what kind of damage we do to their reputation when we talk about them. How about sarcasm? Y'all ever think that sarcasm finds roots in anger? I'm not saying it's bad to be sarcastic, okay? We all have ways that we are sarcastic, and sometimes it's funny. But it's not always funny. And it can really communicate something to somebody if you're not careful. Sarcasm can be a form of anger. And we may say things like, just kidding, but we know deep inside we're not kidding about what we just said about that person. We truly believe it. How about, you said passive aggressiveness, the silent treatment, okay? How can the silent treatment be a form of anger?
Trying to
say what?
Trying to antagonize the other person.
Okay, antagonize them? I heard something over here. Yeah, not trying to work it out, just trying to let it stew. I saw another hand over here. Ellie? Yeah, we hold grudges, okay? When we get mad, we can often shut people off, and what we're trying to do is control them. We're trying to put them down, okay? Again, we're trying to communicate, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to make you suffer because of it. I'm going to push you out of my life. Okay? Yes, Josh?
Acting like a two-year-old and pouting.
Yeah, acting like a two-year-old and pouting. That's another way that anger can show itself. Okay, how would you say the world views anger?
We're almost desensitized to it.
Okay.
We think it's okay to abuse.
Okay. Yes, Hannah.
I think that the world kind of sees that, like, if you are in a place of power socially or in power, that if you're angry, like, it's more justified than if you weren't in a place of power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's what people associate anger with, is also power.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are angry use their
power. When I was thinking about this, the way I would answer this question is, I don't think anybody in the world would say that anger is the best thing in the world and we need more of it, right? But what they communicate when they are angry is, use the word that starts with J. What was it? They justify, okay? We often find ways to justify our anger, okay? And what we're saying when we do that, what we're saying when we lose our minds and just like yell at somebody and we make excuses for it, what we're saying is, my anger's okay. Again, why? Because you're wrong, I'm right, you've wronged me. In a way, you're saying that your anger is a good thing. And that's something that we really need to recognize. What are those ways that we justify our anger? Maybe you have specific examples from today. I'm not saying it has to be from today, but yes, Ethan.
Saying it's because they're stupid.
Okay, yeah. Just going after someone's character.
Punching a woman and breaking your hand.
Random.
What else? Jack.
I mean, you could be like, you know, well, it's like, you know, they did this to me first. So
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so we start playing the blame game. Yeah. Okay, so we start playing the blame game. Hannah?
Not taking ownership and saying that, like, all the ownership of the conflict is on the other person.
Yeah, it's all their fault. Okay? Claire. Okay, yeah, they deserve. Yeah. Think about, and this is my prime example because I used to work in a restaurant. Okay, think about when you're in a restaurant and they get your order wrong, or there's like a hair in your food. What is the cultural expectation for you at that point? To lose your mind, right? Culturally, it's expected for you to invite the waiter over and complain as harshly as you can. And then you invite the manager over. And then when they try to, you know, make the situation right, you just pout and you stomp out and you steal stuff on the way out and you burn the restaurant down. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, right? The expectation for you in those situations is to control and to cause as much damage as possible. You may not think that's what the cultural expectation is, but it is, okay? I saw that a lot standing behind a counter working in a restaurant. People are so wrapped up in themselves, they think that they're right no matter what, okay? Even if it's their own hair, they don't care, okay? All they can think about is their anger. And then, you know, after you have left the burning restaurant, you get on Yelp and you write a bunch of fake reviews, you know, just to cause more damage, okay? That's how our anger works. And that's not how our anger should work. We should be thinking about healthy ways to deal with our anger. Anger wants results when? Fast. Yeah. Wants them now. John 8:44. Somebody turn there and read that for me.
You are of your father the devil, and you're willing to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and a father of lies.
Okay, Satan is a
liar.
And when we believe his lies, it's easy for us to justify our sin and easy for us to justify our anger. So we have to be careful of that. So let's look at what we do with our anger. Group three. What are ways that anger can be taken out on others? We kind of talked about it already, but what are some other ways?
Murder.
It's not a good one, but yeah.
You can hurt them physically or emotionally.
Physically or emotionally, okay. What else? Okay. How about on social media? Can you hurt people on social media?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You can hurt people. You can hurt people from behind a screen nowadays. Our anger is often connected to things that we are personally associated with. Just think about the things that make you most frustrated when your personal comfort is attacked, or when your relationships are attacked, or when someone takes your possessions or goes after your friends. Okay? When one of those things is threatened, we tend to just lose our minds, and we don't really think about how to handle that situation right. We're just so wrapped up with, they've threatened me. I need to go after that. You can end up punching a wall. We've mentioned that several times. Now, was the wall making you angry?
No.
No. But who took the brunt of your anger?
The wall
did. Okay. Now, that same force that hits that wall can also hit your friends emotionally. It can hit your friends from across the screen when they see something you've written about them. Okay. That anger doesn't end when you punch that wall. It still resonates in our relationships. Who did I ask to read 1 Corinthians 3:16? Jack, go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17.
Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. If God's temple is holy, you should honor him.
As we read that passage, what is Paul telling us about how our anger affects those that we're supposed to love? What does it say, Jack? Well, God tells us that we're his temple, and when we get angry at people who are God's temple, what are we doing?
Being angry at God.
In a sense, yes. We're being angry at people who are made in God's image. And God calls us not to do that. He doesn't want us to do that. Anger specializes in indicting others, and this is, again, Ed Welch. Anger specializes in indicting others, but is unskilled at self-indictment and showing love. So we're really, really good at getting mad at Dave, but we're not good at recognizing that I have Dave-like tendencies, okay?
Yeah.
And I need to love Dave the way that God loves Dave. So what are healthy ways? What are some healthy ways that we can deal with our anger? Group three. Yes, Anna.
Talking with others about it, like counseling.
Okay. Yeah.
Going to the Word.
Okay.
Self-control.
Recognizing your emotions. Okay. Situation.
Yeah. Being emotionally aware of yourself. Hey, how are you? Yeah. Recognizing the situations that we become most angry is a good first step. Okay. If you know you get angry every time you see Dave, okay, what can you do? Poor Dave's just getting the brunt of tonight. But we can prepare ourselves to interact with Dave, okay? First, by recognizing our anger as sin and calling it that. Because again, we try to justify it so much to the point where we don't even think it's that big of a deal. It's not really a sin. Okay, I'm justified in this. When there's justification, there's no recognition that we need forgiveness for it. And sin is sin. God hates sin, right? Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Who did I ask to read Matthew 5:21? Go ahead.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire."
So essentially he's saying that you've heard that, or you've been taught that murder is physically killing somebody, but I'm telling you what?
Anger is...
Anger is also a form of murder in our hearts because we're attacking people. We're going after people's character. We're going after people's physical bodies. We're going after people emotionally. Okay? And he equates that to murder. And what he's doing, he's trying to get them to recognize that you don't view your sin the way that God views your sin. He hates sin. And he wants you to recognize that your anger, and your frustration, your hatred is something that you really need to take to him and think about. Okay? It's a hard issue. And we must be willing to evaluate ourselves. We're not really good at the self-evaluation. We're really good at evaluating who? Dave. Okay? And we would be wise to recognize the areas that we get really frustrated and go into those areas prepared to face those. And he talked about going to the Word and praying. Getting ourselves before what we call the ordinary means of grace is the best way for us to prepare for those things. Ordinary means of grace are things like prayer, going to church, listening to God's Word preached, okay? Confessing our sins. These are all things that prepare us. So let's end here. So I found this week, and I actually thought this was really, really funny, so I want to share it with y'all. So back in the 80s, in San Francisco, there was this commercial ad campaign that was trying to get after the issue of AIDS transmission in the city. So the disease of AIDS was being spread throughout San Francisco, and this commercial ad campaign was aimed at trying to slow that down or even stop it. They formed this guy called Bleach Man, okay? And you can just imagine the 1980s commercials, it's real fuzzy, the images and all that great. It literally is this superhero-looking guy. A big foam chest and big arms, big B on his chest, and he's wearing a red cape, and his head is a bottle of bleach. Okay? And what Bleach Man was encouraging people to do was to sterilize your needles before you share them. He was encouraging people to sterilize their needles before they shared them. Now, hopefully that helps stop spreading disease. Stop spreading disease is a good thing, right? But is that getting after the issue?
No.
No, it's not. Okay. Instead of going after the root of the problem, they went after surface issues. Okay. We need to do the same with our anger. We need to not just go after the surface issues. Because if we just go after the surface issues, we're always going to blow past what's deeply troubling us and where our anger really, really comes from. We need to be discerning and seeking to understand when a judgment is passed in our hearts. We need to be able to step back like a good judge and say, wait a second. I'm emotionally involved in this. I need to take some time to think about it. I need to bring this to the Lord. I need to go to the scriptures. I need to pray. All of these things will help us to calm down. Okay? When you know what you're mad at and why, you can begin to discern how valid your anger is and begin to think how to emotionally handle it well. And that's not something that we're really good at, but we need practice. So here's a practical way for you to start dealing with your anger. Okay, y'all ready? Slow down. Slow down. That's a good first step. Okay, take a deep breath. Hey, Hannah, will you read James 1:19-20 for me?
Know this, my beloved.
Okay, so James is encouraging us to be slow to speak and be quick to listen. Okay, and he's saying when you're in those moments where you just want to berate into Dave and just go after him because he's being a jerk and being unkind, what we need to be able to do is step back and say, look, Dave is made in God's image. God loves him. And even though he's frustrating me right now, I need to be able to respond to Dave in a godly manner. So we have to create a culture of humility in our own hearts, which is hard because humility has to say, you know, I may be right, but I don't need to show Dave that I'm right. Okay, I may not have any fault in this situation, but I need to approach this situation with gentleness and kindness because God has called us to do that. We need to be able to extend grace. Why? Here's the application. Who's shown us grace already? Jesus has. Okay, in mighty ways. He's shown us more grace than we can ever extend to anybody else. So we need to be able to share a little bit of that grace with one another. So let me end with this question. When was the last time you felt really angry? And have you brought that to Jesus? And what would it look like for you to biblically manage your anger? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for this evening. Lord, we do ask that as we deal with this specific emotion, Lord, it's one that often gets us into a lot of trouble and one that we often don't even realize that we're doing, Lord, and it can just spiral and get to the point where we really hurt people. We do pray that you would be at the center of that and you would work in that, Lord. Help us to extend grace to one another. Lord, we've all been hurt by our friends. We've all been hurt by members of our families, Lord. And we need to be able to show grace because you've shown us grace. Lord, help us to work through this in a biblical way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.